Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. We have got a wonderful show for you tonight. You know, are you guys stuck in your old habits? Do you want to know what habits you can embrace in order to create success in your life, whatever success means to you? Well, Brian Vincent's with us, and he's going to talk about his latest book, that's Habits for Success, Inspired Ideas to Help You Soar, Create Your Foundation of Happiness, Balance, and Fulfillment. So the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through the blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back. But you know, I always ask the question, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I am the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, the Men and Money book, and Masterful Choices, the Key to Easy, Effective Change. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the absolute fullest. Now, my clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. You can find out more about me and the services I offer by going to my website, and that's MoniqueChapman.com. I invite you to like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and LinkedIn. My guest today, Brian Benson, is a 5-time number one best-selling and multiple award-winning author. He's a TEDx speaker, a life coach, an actor, a 4-time Ironman, a cross-country bicyclist, radio personality, and somebody who just believes in you. And you can check him out at his website, and that's gbrianbenson.com. So the letter G, then BRIANBENSON.com. Welcome, Brian.
Hey, good morning. Welcome, Monique.
Hey, you know,
it's good to be here.
Just reading your bio, I got tired. I mean, the Iron Man. So I guess I need a little bit more exercise in my life.
I feel like I've lived many lifetimes.
Oh, I think
no pun intended. Yeah,
I think you're a very old soul. You know, I absolutely love the book Habits for Success: Inspired Ideas to Help You Soar, Create Your Foundation of Happiness, Balance, and Fulfillment. It's a great little book, folks. It's an easy read. He puts little tidbits he calls moments of clarity in there, and he puts some poems in there. He's going to share one a little bit later with us that he wrote himself. But what I really liked about Brian's book is it's not one of those workbook that you got to figure out the circles and the equation for this and that and the other. He gives you straightforward, real-world, will-work advice if you decide to follow it. So, Brian, how did you get on your journey of creative writing and helping people and, you know, moving on through?
Yeah. Well, to be honest, everything that I'm doing is kind of, I did not know it was inside of me. I left my family business 10 years ago into the unknown. I had kind of grown tired of being there, and I kind of felt like I wasn't growing anymore. And I felt like I had this gift inside of me that wanted to come out, although I didn't know what it was at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I had a chat with my dad, and he was understanding, and I stepped out into the unknown. And so the thing that was kind of the thing that pointed me in the direction I'm headed now is I ended up having to stay an extra year because we decided to sell it. Mm-hmm. And during that final year, it was tough because I was so ready to hit the road and kind of see what was next. But it turned out to be a blessing in disguise. As I, one day I was kind of really feeling out of balance, and I've always tried to, you know, be the best version of myself. So I just sat down and decided to write down five things that I felt would help me during this period.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. But my intuition just kind of started screaming, expand the list and write a book. And I'd never really written anything before, but it felt like an all systems go intuitive hit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I you know, kind of poured through me. And at the very tail end of being there, I ended up self-publishing my first book, and which kind of put me on this journey of, you know, eventually, you know, it's creating positive content in a lot of different ways, whether it's a self-help book or a kid's book or acting, you know, you name it. And the way that I found a lot of things that I'm currently doing was I began to step out of my comfort zone, and all these things just kind of unusually and unexpectedly started happening.
Mm-hmm.
For me.
Well, in your book, you talk about following a hunch and leaving the family business. What was that hunch, and how did it come to you?
Well, it just, I think the whole time that I was there, it was 11 years of actually running it, but I grew up working in there. It was a golf center. We had a driving range, a retail store, and a 9-hole par 3 course. And so, you know, it was really embedded in you know, as part of me and part of my life and my family's life, and I had a lot of memories there. So, I don't think I ever felt like it was what I wanted to do for the rest of my life during those 11 years.
Uh-huh.
And I think the pull to really begin to see what lie next started really hitting me those last couple of years, and so leading me up to having that chat with my dad.
You know, I chuckled because I come from an entrepreneurial family also. My father had a chain of dry cleaning stores in upstate New York. And I hated it. You know, I mean, I had to work in it after school as a kid. And, you know, once I became an adult and going to college, and it was just like, you know, Daddy, I don't want to clean clothes. And he goes, well, don't worry, one day you'll be cleaning people's souls. And I'm like, yeah, okay. you know,
that's
not
going to,
you know, but I blew it off. But having that talk was so difficult because this is a man who put his life and dreams and passion into a business that he wanted to pass down to his family. And since he didn't have any sons, he tried to make me it. And I just wasn't having it. So did that talk go easy with your dad? Or, I mean, was he immediately open and receptive, or did he try to give you some pushback?
No, you know, it was really kind of, it was nice kind of the whole way. He, you know, ultimately he's always wanted me to be happy.
Uh-huh.
And I think he this is kind of a side business for us. He was an insurance salesman as well,
okay.
Life insurance and stuff. And so I think he even shared with me that had he had to do it all over, he loved to teach, and he was a really good golfer and a really good teacher of golf. He said he would have not gone into insurance, and he would have gone into, you know, being like a club professional or something, or a teacher. And so that was really kind of interesting that he shared that with me. So he understood. And, you know, I know that I think I would have had to done it either way had he had, I'd had his blessing or not, but I had it.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to go do you at some point, which is really true. Now, earlier you mentioned comfort zone, and one of the things that I like about your book, when you put a noun or an adjective or whatever out there, you clearly define it so that everybody that's reading the book is on the same page energetically as you are. So what is a comfort zone, and why is it necessary sometimes to jump outside of that?
Well, I think, you know, a comfort zone, that's an interesting question. I think they're a little bit different for everybody, just depending on the modeling that we've had and the experiences that we had, you know what I mean, and the support that we've been given. And so for some people, it's just a very rigid existence of, you know, kind of maybe living by what society or, you know, family kind of taught us of what we need to do. And, you know, whether it's to go to college and get married and have kids and just kind of do that route. Which is nothing wrong with it if that's what really, you know, speaks to you. But for me, it just, you know, a comfort zone for me, looking back, I've really always needed to be kind of challenged. And I'm a Gemini. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but I love variety and learning. And I'm very curious. And so for me, kind of, you know, doing something like that didn't really, I don't think, appeal to me. I need constant stimulation, you know, and I love to read, and I love history, and I love, you know, just having new experiences and exploring. So, you know, for me, that's what, you know, I had to break through that comfort zone. And I think when the book came, my very first book came out, it won a couple of awards. Now, I hadn't sold very many copies of it for a couple of reasons. One, I didn't know how to market it. And this was back in 2009, before social media really started to kind of do what it's doing. And I also was terrified to speak in front of people. And so I knew that if I wanted to share this message, I needed to overcome that fear. So I started doing a lot of crazy things. Well, not necessarily crazy, but I did a couple of community college speech classes. Now, for someone who's terrified of speaking, that was crazy.
Yeah.
But so I did those. I joined Toastmasters for a bit. I hired someone to co-host my own internet radio show with me, who had had experience doing that. You know, and I was so nervous. I just had all my questions laid out, and I would just read my introduction, and it was, oh boy, you know, I hadn't yet learned to really kind of trust that what was inside of me, you know, that I could trust, you know, what I needed to say without really having to prepare. I created an interactive workshop. I thought I was being clever, you know, so I was going to make people kind of interact with me, and it ended up turning out to be much better that way. I took an acting class, so I just really jumped into it over the course of a couple of years, just to really grow and become more self-aware. And through that, all kinds of amazing things started kind of happening, and synchronistic events and opportunities and people came into my life that kind of kept me continually stepping out of my comfort zone, eventually leading me to LA 6 years ago and pursuing acting in addition to all the other stuff that I'm doing.
Okay. Well, based on everything that you did, some people might say, you know, hey, maybe this guy's just looking to be Mr. Perfect. You know, he's got to do it all. What are your thoughts around the energy of perfection?
That's a great point. Man, there's so many different ways we could discuss this.
Pick one.
As well, perfection, I mean, yes, there was parts of me, and I'm still kind of working on that a little bit, you know, and it's kind of, I think, held me back in some regards, because I do feel like I want everything that I do to be perfect. But where does that perfection stem from? Where does that need to be perfect stem, you know, come from? And I think for me, it was, I haven't really always learned how to love and accept myself like I should. And so that's been something that I've really been working on very hard. And I think that, you know, as spiritual beings having human experiences, we're here to learn and grow. And I think that the ultimate test and task that we've been given is to learn how to love and accept ourselves, because once we can do that, I think everything starts to fall into place. And so for, you know, I know I'm jumping around here, but for perfection, it the need to be perfect has taught me some hard lessons along the way. You know, like when I released some of my projects, books, what have you, I had these high expectations for them, and if they didn't quite meet it, I'd be in a funk for a couple of weeks. And it really forced me to kind of say, you know, do you really want to do this? Because you're not happy the way that you're going about it. And so I really finally have learned to just, I love being creative, just to learn to love and enjoy the creative process, and just trust that what I've created will get that out there to the people that are supposed to see it and on its, you know, the perfect time that it's supposed to do that. So that's helped me step off the perfection pedal a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's so hard, you know, because I know my issues around perfection had to do with my parents. You know, you will be perfect. I grew up in, you know, the 50s and 60s in a very elite suburban area in upstate New York, and there was only two black families in the whole town. And so, and being dark-skinned black people was important to my father that we fit in. So I needed to kind of like step it up and be perfect, and it was all that pressure. And finally, one day, I just said, okay, BS, and that was bullshit, not belief system, and I let it go. But I was well into adulthood before I could do that. So it's always interesting how, you know, we stay in the energies of those who are around us. Now, you talked about the comfort zone a bit, but why is it that people choose, and I truly believe it's a choice, they choose to stay stuck? And I think that correlates with comfort zone.
Why do people choose to stay stuck?
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes in their minds, maybe.
Or do they?
Well, some do for sure. I think some just feel like it's a safer place to be than the unknown of what might be out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why do people? There's just so many different reasons. It all just depends on what's happened to them. I mean, for me, gosh, you're stumping me a little bit here.
That's okay. You know, just. In general, why do you think people, you're a coach, you've worked with people, why do you think sometimes people don't get over it, you know?
They still believe in themselves. They don't believe that they're capable of more that they, you know, more that than they're doing. And you know, it's just, I think that's just such a false premise. There's so much inside of us that we don't know that is in there that is capable of doing amazing things. I mean, you know, I didn't know any of what I'm currently doing was inside of me at all, but I just followed my little intuitive hunches, and one thing led to another, led to another, led to another, and all of a sudden I'm finding all these gifts that are inside of me. And you know, I think you and I both really want to help the people that we work with realize and understand and share those gifts, because, you know, there's nothing better than really just being able to just be yourself and throw away all that extra weight that we carry of trying to be someone that we're not.
I love it. Be yourself. And
yeah,
sometimes
be yourself to free yourself.
Oh, I like that. Be yourself to free yourself. So many people are afraid to be themselves for whatever reason. But folks, we're speaking with Brian Benson. He's the author of Habits for Success, Inspired Ideas to Help You Soar, Create Your Foundation of Happiness, Balance, and Fulfillment. And you can check him out and get the book on his website, and that is gbrianbenson.com. Again, that's gbrianbenson.com. And you'll see the information on his first book there. And do get it. It's a quick little read, but it puts you in the right mindset. and it truly helps you, you know, navigate life the way that it is today. Now, Brian, you talk in your book about people and how it's important that they live in the moment. But how do we live in the moment today with so many distractions?
That's a great question. I think it's no accident that my very first book was on a whole bunch of different ways to stay in life balance, because for me, having that information and the knowledge and self-awareness of what kept me in balance and what threw me out of balance and just truly understanding that really has helped me accomplish that and really helped me become extremely self-aware, which has helped me develop, you know, routines that work for me and help me, you know, we all go through ups and downs, but when I'm in those down periods, having the knowledge of what how to stay in life balance has really helped me move through them probably a little bit easier than someone who's just kind of flailing about. And for me, the best part of it is I've learned to be able to live proactively instead of reactively. And so, you know, to answer your question, I think for me, that's just to stay in the moment. I mean, that helps me stay in the moment, you know, all the tools that I have. And I think the most important thing about learning how to stay in the moment and understand life balance for ourselves is just our intuition is going to come through stronger. You know, social media is a tough one because it's so hard not to be addicted to our phones and to going on there and being validated by all the likes and such. And I think, unfortunately, it's messed with a lot of our minds because we're comparing ourselves, the best of everybody else that we see on social media, with the worst of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really, you know, can keep a lot of people down. But,
interesting you bring up social media in that way. I am so not a fan of social media. I'm old, number one. Number two, you know, I'd rather, like, call you up on the phone and talk to you rather than send you a text.
Yeah.
I think that you know, and this is my opinion. I do have a Facebook page. I do have Twitter and all the bells and whistles because I have a business. But if I did not, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be there because I think it's none of your business what I ate for lunch or if I'm going on vacation. I mean, that's truly just where I'm coming from. But then I've got, you know, a neighbor friend, and she's early 50s, between 50 and 55, and she can't stay off. I mean, if we go down to the, you know, bar to have a drink, she's got to take pictures and post and whatever. And I'm like, honey, I don't want people to know I'm at the huddle. You know, just back it off a little bit. So how do we find that balance based on habits for success? How do we find that balance of if we're so addicted to our phones and posting and all of that stuff, how do we find that balance to come back to some semblance of reality?
Well, I mean, it all really starts with just being honest with ourselves and you know, becoming more self-aware and mm-hmm. you know, learning how to catch ourselves. And so we can just, you know, almost like, for me, the last 10 years, the book's the culmination of the last 10 years of my life of almost kind of sitting in this observer's perch of documenting my own self-growth process. And so I've become very good at that. And so the more that we can become self-aware and almost kind of view ourselves from, 10 feet up in the air and kind of watching and gaining awareness. And during that, you know, it helps us learn how to kind of maybe slow a few things down or speed a few things up, if that makes sense. You know, you gotta be honest with yourself first or nothing's going to change. I mean, you have to want it. You have to want it. You have to want to change. Mm-hmm. You know, I know a lot of people get their esteem from probably connecting with others on social media. And I don't know, social media for me is love-hate thing. You know, I mean, it's been amazing, and I've made so many amazing connections and mm-hmm. contacts mm-hmm. through it. But yet, you know, I too can get kind of sucked in a little bit at times, and I never feel good when I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
it just...
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, for some folks it's a lifeline, and for other folks it's entertaining, and sometimes I'll just go on Facebook and look and chuckle.
And you know, if it's good for a laugh, then that's mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong with that. But I think a lot of, you know, some of the people maybe that are spending too much time on there probably haven't really learned how to love and accept themselves either and gotten comfortable in their own skin. And so the more that you can do that, I think as well, releases the need to maybe get the validation from, you know, to fill the voids that we've been trying to do instead of letting it come from inside.
Filling the void, that's a big one, because there's so much, even with social media and the outreach and all, there's so much that we're still, you know, missing mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. we have that downtime, and it's like, oh my God, I got to do something. So, you know, we'll figure it out.
It is connection, but it's kind of, in some ways, a false sense of connection as well. I mean, are we really connecting when we're just like saying a sentence or two or hitting the like button? We're not, you know, I mean, just like you mentioned earlier, how you'd love to just chat with someone. That's really connecting.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, people don't want to do that these days. They want to text. And having two millennials, I understand that concept. I have a home office, and I have a big window in my office, and I sit and I watch people all day long. And I saw a dad one day with the baby in the stroller. He's texting. I live right on the corner. He literally walked into the street with the baby while he's texting on his phone and didn't look up at the car that was about to hit him. And I'm like, wow, you know, but that's a whole nother story that we could get into and a different show.
Yeah.
Now, in your book, you talk about the F word a lot, and that's failure. And you actually wrote a poem about that. Could you share the poem, and then we could talk about failure a little bit, or the concept of failure?
Of course. So it's called A Minute of Failure. A minute of failure can lead one to grow or tumble and stumble to the depths far below. The decision is yours what to do when you fall, to pack up and quit or stand firm and tall. Everyone fails. It's natural and true. It's part of the process to grow and become new. So pick yourself up and give try again. If you find yourself failing, it's a fleeting trend. Don't give in to failure or you will never be set free. It's for those who don't believe and lack vision to truly see. Keep standing each time you fall down. your true nature will emerge, your spirit unbound.
Beautiful. And you say so much there, because so many people, when they hear the word fail or failure, it's has a negative connotation to them. They take on the energy of being defeated, that they're worthless. I mean, all those negatives that can go along with that.
Mm-hmm.
How can one get past the feeling of failure? I was a sales rep for 25 years, and you know, you'd go into a sales call and you'd be pumped and all of this and high and mighty, and you're making a presentation and you could see everybody's face go, oh, I don't think so. And so, you know, you got to know. But, you know, for every, you know, like 50 no's, you got, you know, maybe a yes or whatever. So you had to get in sales, you had to get a lot of no's to get to your yes. So how do we get past the, or change, I guess, the energy of failure to a stepping stone to where we want to go?
Well, I think first of all, it's important to realize all of the positives that can come from failure. I mean, it helps us build character. I think it can teach us to be more empathetic. It can make us humble, you know, which isn't a bad thing. I think it could force us to dig deeper, you know, maybe hone our craft or whatever we're working on even better. And, you know, sometimes it's just information, you know, it teaches us new ways to do things. Maybe we do need to change something because it's not quite right the way it is. And the way that after we change it, it's going to be much better and it'll be successful the way, you know, you'd hope it was in the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I think failure can lead us to new opportunities. You know, I think it also, if you can really get over worrying about failing, I think you can really free up your energy and put you in a place of just, I don't know, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes if we're afraid, we don't, it just holds us back.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Yeah. I mean, for me, I've had, you know, gone through it like a lot of people have. And when I moved out here to LA and I started, you know, studying acting a lot and going to a lot of auditions, I mean, it smacks you in the face immediately. And if you really have to learn that, you know, just know that I think the average is like, you know, you're going to book something every 75 auditions you go to. I mean, that's not very good odds. There's a lot of competition out here. And it messed with me a lot. I mean, it really beat me up and made me question my self-worth. And once I got to the place of really just, I think it went hand in hand with me, just really, you know, like I mentioned earlier, the process of learning how to love and accept myself. And the more that came into play, you know, I didn't worry as much. And I just went in there and just have fun and just, you know, just be happy for the audition itself, you know, because then, you know, not many people are just getting auditions in the first place. I went to one time where we had to sign in, and on a sheet it said, 5,000 people were submitted for this. 50 got auditions. One's going to get the job.
Wow.
So it's crazy. Yeah. So you just got to trust, and you just got to really love what you're doing, and just almost just it really also, I think, teaches you how to learn how to just love the process of what you're doing and trying to stay in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what I've learned.
Okay.
There's a lot of information there, I know.
Oh, no, it's fine. Staying in the moment is really important. But I want to switch gears for a moment and talk about something that you have in the book, and that's judgment. We're always in judgment of ourselves or others or a thing or whatever. So talk to us a little bit about judgment and what you feel the difference is between judgment and observation.
Judgment and observation.
Or can you observe
judgment,
something without judgment?
Wow, that's deep. I think the more self-aware we become, we can. Yeah, absolutely. I think maybe there will always be possibly just a little bit of judgment in there, but that. Wow, yeah, this is a great question. Judgment comes, I think, you know, the judgment that we're talking about, the negative judgment, whether it's, you know, expressed, voiced, whatever, or just witnessed and maybe comes out in other ways. You know, that's just, I think ultimately we're judging ourselves, right? You know, it's just a way of us not really we're not comfortable with ourselves. I know you're going to get tired of me going back to this love and accept ourselves part, but it all really plays a part in a lot of these different habits and the depth that that we can go into them.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to think of myself as being non-judgmental, but I can get judgmental too, just like everybody else at times. Especially driving out here in LA, you know.
Yeah, it's always an interesting exercise. I was down there a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, "Whoa, okay."
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you for that question.
Yeah. So, does judgment have a little bit more energy on it, whether it's either positive or negative? Because I think there could be positive judgment. And then observation is like, okay, you just note it or something, but you don't take that next step of putting a certain mm-hmm. energy to it or no.
I love it. No, that's exactly, I think you hit the nail on the head with both of those. I think judgment, there's a little bit more energy attached to it, you know, either way. And then an observation is more of just witnessing.
Okay.
And just kind of staying in your lane.
Okay. That's interesting. Now, in the book, you talk about boldly saying yes, but what about saying no? Is that a good thing?
Absolutely.
Talk to us about the yes and the no, please.
Well, they're both very important. I think no. Start with no.
Okay.
I think I used to be a people pleaser. My mom was a little bit as well, and it's okay to be, you know, I also like to give and help others and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And that's fine, but yet I think there's a limit, and we need to obviously take care of ourselves and our own needs first. And to be able to, you know, there's lots of different ways we can do that. You know, if we need to regenerate, you know, obviously we need to take the time to do that. And so we're not taking care of ourselves, and we're really not able to help others. And mm-hmm. I think I see a lot of people out there just saying yes to everything, and they're depleted, and they're not really giving. They're obviously not giving their best to themselves, but they're not giving their best to the people that they say yes to either. And I don't think anybody's happy in that regard. Mm-hmm. So if you can learn how to say no and really be honest with your, you know, what you need to do in the situation, I think it's a great way to stay happy, healthy, and grounded.
Okay.
And I think, you know, the more that we are able to really say no in an authentic way, I think people will begin to treat you with more respect and value your time when you do, because, you know, that's what I've learned.
Yeah, well, I know there's a few times when I didn't say no, and I'm there doing what this other person wanted me to do. I didn't want to do it, and I was just evil the whole time, you know, because I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to do it, but I was afraid to say no, you know, but now it's real easy.
Yeah, you know, you're exactly right. We'll say yes to something we don't want to do, and then just, you know, we're evil. We're not doing it with love.
Yes.
I didn't mean to cut you off there.
That's okay. But
boldly, you know, saying yes, the other chapters boldly say yes. I mean, we need to learn how to, I think, implement both no and yes into our lives. I mean, for me, saying yes has been incredible. You know, if I was invited or had an opportunity to do something, even though it was scary for me, I still mm-hmm. said yes. Because intuitively I knew that it would help me get to where I wanted to go and that I would learn from it. And that I also learned how to trust that I would get what I needed to be able to accomplish that. Yes.
Okay.
For example, you know, So, I mean, I think saying yes sets an intention of success, you know, and it can also lead us in a positive way, you know, just kind of flow momentum.
Okay. Now, in your book, you're a strong proponent of time for self. I'm also a strong proponent. I feel that everybody should take an hour a day for themselves. Mm-hmm. And you can really find it if you get out of the TV, you get off the podcast, but listen to this one, and you get off social media and all. You know, you can find that hour a day for yourself, but why is it important, in your opinion, that people find that time and take that time for themselves?
The more that you can do that, I think the stronger that you will allow your intuition to come through. You know, one of the five original things that I wrote when I wrote my little five list of things to do for myself to stay in balance way back 10 years ago, one of them was to make sure that I allowed myself to have some quiet time every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm an outgoing introvert, so I definitely like my quiet time and need it to refill my cup to be the best that I can be for myself and others. So, you learn so much about yourself, you know, in quiet time
mm-hmm.
as well. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's extremely valuable.
Yeah. And, you know, you get to know yourself, too. And then it might be
yep.
easier to say no when you're tempted to
yep.
say yes.
Yeah, you got to get out and get out. You have to get off the merry-go-round every once in a while, right? Otherwise,
mm-hmm.
you're spinning and spinning, and you're not really able to kind of re-gauge things and get centered and just really, you know, look with clear eyes.
I like that. Clear eyes at all comes back, folks. He's talking about that intuition and the many different forms that it can come to you. Now,
mm-hmm.
Brian, you have presented some very inspiring TEDx talks, and one you kind of alluded to earlier when you said, be yourself to free yourself. Another one is finding your personal freedom. How did all of this come about?
Well, you know, that boldly saying yes that we just talked about, a few years back, I was living in LA, and somebody just called me up out of the blue who I'd briefly met when I was in Nevada, and he said that he was curating a TEDx event in Pasadena,
mm-hmm.
and he thought that I'd be a good addition, would I like to do it, and I really hadn't spoken at all, and it was, you know, the thought of it kind of terrified me, but I said yes, I just gulped and said yes, and I had 3 months to write it and present it.
Oh, okay.
And so, yeah, that's how that came about, and you know, it was a great experience. It was a little bit scary, but it was just very empowering for me as well. But I really loved, you know, what I spoke about was, you know, be yourself to free yourself, finding your personal freedom was just basically the journey that I've been on the last 10 years. And I kind of shared that story and I wove it through 5 points that I learned and utilized along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And which were, you know, one was listen to your intuition and be open to whatever comes your way. Two was step out of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Three was stay in life balance. Four was have fun and enjoy the ride. And five was there are no rules, expect the unexpected. And those 5 points have probably really, which I write about in the new book as well, they've all really played a huge part in helping me learn and grow.
Okay. Brian, what's your definition of success?
It changes daily. I think originally it was kind of the version that a lot of people hold is, you know, to, you know, probably have a good job, make a lot of money, and, you know, that route, you know, be financially successful. And, you know, that's still part of it, but I've learned, you know, during this journey that I've been on that, Just being open to self-growth and learning and becoming more self-aware is a success. You know, stepping out of your comfort zone is a success. Connecting with like-minded, really great people is being successful.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different ways that we can be successful that we don't really even think about or give value to. A couple of years ago, I started doing a success jar where basically if, you know, something happened during the day, that I'd write it on a little piece of paper and I'd throw it in the jar and it just, you know, soon built up and, you know, became full. And there's just so many different ways that we can, whether it's just going to an audition or, you know, being a good parent, whatever, there's just so many different ways that we can define being of a success. And so for me, you know, that's my version has really expanded.
Okay. Well, sometimes just waking up in the morning is a success.
Yes. Well, you know, getting out of bed, oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, especially during Mercury retrograde, right?
Oh, geez. And we just had one, so everybody knows how interesting that was. And hopefully
yes.
the next one is kinder, lighter, brighter. You know, you have a very strong coaching background and all of the things that you've done, but you also seem to have a pretty strong metaphysical background. How do the two intersect?
I don't think I've ever been asked that before. That's a great question. You know, when I was three, I told my mom that I was put here to inspire people. And
at
she
three.
Reminded me not at three.
Okay.
And she reminded me not too long ago. I'd forgotten. But once, you know, I left the family business and I started writing self-help books and creating positive content. So it's interesting. It's I've always felt like I was pretty spiritual, but in a very grounded kind of layman's way, if that makes sense, and trusted my intuition and, you know, the guides that are out there. And I don't necessarily speak on it a lot, but I think in a lot of my poetry that I'm able to write in layman's terms, but with depth and spiritual depth. And so I almost kind of feel like I was put here to be a bridge to help people re-remember a lot of that that has been kind of dampened since the, you know, during their journey here on Earth. So, you know, I'm a big believer in reincarnation and how do I blend them? You know, I just try to be myself and just, you know, try to get people to be open to more than maybe what society has taught them. And just to, you know, learn how to follow that intuitive hit. Because, I mean, for me, intuition is just spirit, God, universe, whatever you want to call it, giving us a game plan. And I've luckily been able to learn and trust how to follow mine, and I want other people to do the same.
Yeah, and it's trial and error, folks, you know, and nothing's 100%. You know, that's what I get all the time. Yeah. I've got to be right. And no, you don't, do you?
No, there's a word I'm trying to think of. Empathy. You just have to be empathetic toward yourselves and others, you know, because life is not easy. Living here is not easy. And the more that you can hold that in your heart, especially for yourself, because then that will automatically just help you do it with other people. Just the easier the ride's going to be, and the more joyful it will be, and the more that we can hold gratitude in our heart. And, you know, I know there's a lot of things that happen to us that like, why would you want to be grateful for that? But I think there's always a little bit of a silver lining in anything. And, you know, through the different times that I've struggled, there definitely have been, whether it was, you know, a knee injury that led me into triathlons or whatever. I mean, you know, just the more that we can be grateful for our experiences and for those that are with us along this journey, the more enjoyable it will be.
Okay. Well, when we go to gbrianbenson.com, what are we going to find there?
Oh, my gosh.
Besides your handsome face.
So, well, you're very kind. Lots of things. You know, there's videos on there. There's spoken word pieces. There's a couple short films that I wrote and acted in that have really nice messages. The TEDx is on there. You'll learn about all the different, you know, the 5 books I've written. I've written 3 self-help books and 2 children's books. You can learn about, you know, I'm starting to speak more. Gosh, I know that I'm missing some things. There's just a lot of, thank you. There's a lot of, and a blog, there's just a lot of information on that website.
Okay. You know, so folks, what I found when I went and I looked at his site, you know, if you're having a day of confusion, down day, or it's a freaking ugly Mercury retrograde, you can go to his site and pick out something that would truly work for you. Like, when I went, when I was reviewing his book and looking at it, one thing I looked at was on his blog, and the title was True Faith Is. I'm like, that's interesting. And I read the article, and it was very uplifting, okay? And whatever the heck I was dealing with at that day, it, you know, kind of went away, and it was healed, at least for the moment, and I went on. So if you're looking for, you know, tools, if you will, that are basically free, because you can visit his website for free, to help you, definitely check out his website. And then if you truly want to delve deeper and, you know, fix yourself, that's the way I look at it, getting his book, Habits for Success, Inspired Ideas to Help You Soar, Create Your Foundation of Happiness, Brilliance, and Fulfillment is your book, okay, because it will truly help you. So, Brian, I want to thank you. Thank you. I want to thank you for being the guest today, and audience, thank you for being with me as we collectively get over it and figure out our habits for success. The divine in me truly honors the divine in you. When you are looking to raise your vibration and shift your energy, give me a call. Intuitive consultations, 30 minutes or longer, are offered a 10% discount if you mention the podcast. Love yourself to make an investment in yourself. Make that call. 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of successful habits. Abundant blessings, light and love to all. Namaste.